Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on your local Franklin area FM dial at 102.9. Another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, happy Friday.
Every Friday is happy, Steve. Every Friday is happy.
Yeah. I'll go to say every day is happy, but I'm happier on
every
Friday.
Day is happy, yeah. Or happier.
Happier on
every Friday.
Friday
is happier. So yeah, happy Friday.
This particular Friday for two reasons. One, it's Friday, and two, I get to talk Franklin with you. And of course, we've got our listening communication specialist, Lily Rivera. Lily, happy Friday to you too.
Happy Friday to you, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a Friday. Things and a weekend coming. It's going to be, you know, the New England weather. There's some activities around, so it'll be interesting to see what happens and go with the flow, so to speak.
Exactly. It's been a crazy week.
Yes.
I'll take 60 degrees and raining any day this week after the first snow. And we all get that bone chilling feeling, don't we? It's like 22, it's raw cold. And you wake up and you go to work. And a funny side of that was I saw more people in the municipal building this week on that one day filling up hot water for tea than you ever see any other point of the year, because everybody's having an extra cup of tea to stay warm.
It's warm.
So we'll take 60 degrees this weekend for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of that hot chocolate day. And I still have my warm bulky sweater on trying to warm up for my walk this morning.
That's funny.
So digging into the busyness and all good busyness of this week, topics on two meetings, the Community Preservation Committee meeting on Tuesday and then the FinCom meeting on Wednesday, talking about the forthcoming process around community preservation and the two public hearings coming up in January.
Yeah, it was exciting. I mean, the rollout with community preservation continues on. As folks who are listeners of these shows and have been following along, hopefully since CPA got passed a year ago, the committee's been doing a lot of work to kind of get a foundation built of not only what are the issues and things in town that folks want, but to kind of get acclimated to some of the legal requirements and some of the administrative business. And they are going to be holding two public hearings. We're required by statute as a community to do one. But I think in the first year, the committee wanted to give everybody a fair shot. So the public hearings will be on January 4th and January 18th. It's really for any citizen to come and propose an idea, ask questions about community preservation. I don't expect there'll be a lot of folks, Steve. You know, I think it's partly kind of what happens. And I think it's commonplace in some towns where that engagement piece is something that I think the CPA committee is going to have to put into its plan, actually, about how to get ideas out of various boards or various communities. And I think, you know, the committee's done a great job getting used to some of the issues in Franklin, but I think as their knowledge base grows, hopefully there'll be a lot of interaction in terms of creative ideas on how to use the money. So those hearings will be on the 4th and the 18th. Both the Community Preservation Committee met this week regarding the application process and how to submit ideas. We'll be doing a Google form. They'll go out soon and give people a fair shot. And then the Finance Committee wanted to do a deep dive and ask questions regarding CPA. And so we talked about community preservation at their meeting for about an hour this week. So, you know, it's all part of the slow but steady process in getting people acclimated to this new funding source and what's eligible, what's not. And I think most importantly, just building some institutional knowledge and capacity, not just on the staff for me or the town attorney or Alicia or Brian Tiberner, but also from the citizen representatives that are on the committee. So it was a good educational week. And I have no doubt in January, folks will become more knowledgeable as well. And we'll just continue to, think of it like Mac Jones as a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick said it this week, I think, really well. You know, right now he's just in the process of stringing days together, And the more practice and the more effort that goes into it builds a long-term yield. And I think we're in the same process. We're kind of a rookie in this whole CPA process. This is kind of our rookie season. And right now we're just trying to string days together to try to get the public and other representatives more acclimated to all this. So with that, I think it was a successful string of meetings this week.
Yeah, I missed the FinCon meeting, but I'll catch up on the recording and share that accordingly as soon as it's available. But yeah, from my perspective, and certainly we've, for the regular listeners, you're probably aware of it, but for the new listeners, this is a good opportunity for a couple of things. One, since CPA was passed, this is truly, as opposed to some other aspects of government, this is truly where citizen import can determine how those dollars are going to be spent. It's not that we made the vote once and the town council is the final approval, but through the process, and the key piece there from my perspective is the process, these public hearings, Community Preservation Committee deliberations, I'm sure FinCon will still weigh in, ultimately town council will be weighing in. But the key is to get in at the start of the process, get to your point, the education, find out what's in, what's out, what's possible, what's not, and have an opportunity to both learn as well as suggest, why can't we do this? Can we do this? Those are key, I think. So I'll continue to do what we can do to spread the word, keep people aware of what's happening.
While we're on the topic, Steve, you just triggered a thought, which I think you would agree was a really important point that came up a few times this week, is really the Community Preservation Committee has a fair amount of authority in a lot of this. You know, first of all, you can't spend CPA money without their approval. That's big right in and of itself. But number two, even when you get to the legislative body of the town council to appropriate or the finance committee with their recommendations and their input, the council can't increase money for a project if they want to spend more.
Yeah.
They can only decrease that amount. And in my experience, it doesn't happen very often. But I think it really establishes out a series of checks and balances that I think are embedded in the law. But to your point, the power center, if you will, really is the Community Preservation Committee. And you just mentioned it about their authority and their role in this, you know, and especially while they have really open minds because this is so new to them, hopefully people come and share their feelings and emotions and their ideas, right? I think that's really, really important. You don't have to fill out a big form and have a quote and do everything, but just even some ideas.
Sure.
For the staff to answer whether a project is eligible or not. That type of stuff is important.
To that end, clearly the way the committee itself is structured, specific representation from housing, recreation, planning board, et cetera, as well as at-large participation. And then they're the ones that do the due diligence before it goes anywhere else. So yeah, they're in a key central role. And I know folks, and not just in Franklin, tend to wait for the town council and then step up there or school committee on a school side and wait there. But this is where those subcommittees, and with all due respect, community preservation, while it behaves kind of like a subcommittee, really is not. They're a key piece in that process, and they're key to having that engagement with the community because that's what it's all about. So,
yeah. It's a good problem to have these days, Steve.
Oh, it's a happy problem. I mean, we've got some money, and certainly we're not going to go spending gazillion dollars because there's not a gazillion dollars, but there are some needs that if anybody has paid attention around, particularly the capital budget, you've got now a multi-year capital budget wish list, some of which now can get siphoned off to be used for CPA funds as opposed to waiting for the free cash allocation after the snow and ice is paid, right? We can potentially get things that, you know, in a more timely fashion and even get things that perhaps we couldn't get before, i.e. the open space purchase from Maple Hill and potentially others at some point in time when they come along.
Yeah, and I think that it's funny you mentioned that. I think that came up this week too, both meetings. I mean, you know, early on, I mean, the committee was learning, but all of a sudden this major policy question came before them quickly. And I think there was a lot of community support for it. So it made it easy. But now they're going to have to kind of step back a minute from some of those pieces and really get into the details of a lot of other topics that I think, you know, certainly in good faith will have more debate associated with them. I think there's a large consensus on the Red Brook Schoolhouse, but other ideas that have come up about vouchers for affordable housing and rent and what about plaques for individual homes on historical? There's a lot more detail in those requests, you know, in those ideas and thought that needs to be put into them and legal requirements that need to be put in them than the average request. So I think it'll be a fun year. I think a lot of people will hopefully come out. And it's not like we're going to not accept requests, you know, after the public hearings, right? It just kind of creates a space for people to come out. So if people have ideas, they should get in touch with the committee throughout the year.
Yeah, and I think to that end as well, and I think one of the examples, and I forget which community it was, but they're kind of on a rolling cycle. Mm-hmm. So they can take suggestions, recommendations all the time. Clearly, there's going to be a priority list, and that list will get worked in a priority order, which is part of the community's and committee's decision process and discussion process. So you're never too late, maybe late for this funding, but never, you know, too late to that extent, but we're still learning. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
And it gives us a good segue, because I think while we do funds that way, clearly community preservation to a certain extent helps us with our overall development, certainly on an economic front as well. And there was a bunch of things, including a press conference this week that we were in live. So that was cool.
Two. This was probably one of the last, this is probably for me, and I think for Lily too, being new, you know, this was probably one of the most rewarding weeks I've had, certainly during the pandemic, if not the whole 3 years I've been town administrator and the 6+ years I've been here. I was talking with one of the counselors offline, and they were asking me some questions about, you know, how various things got done to get the grant money and for the MassWorks grant, which is the press conference you're talking about with Lieutenant Governor yesterday, but also the NETA, New England Treatment Access on Grove Street, their press conference the week before of their opening of their facility. And the counselor really said to me, almost with their jaw down to the ground, they weren't really aware of how much strategic work went into place to lay the groundwork for these. And for me and for the staff, you know, certainly Brutus, DPW director, Mike Maglio, the town engineer, the entire DPW team, you know, our state legislative delegation, particularly Senator Spilka and Representative Roy, and our consultant, April Anderson, and the business partners of Marcus Partners, Levi Riley and Josh Berman. I mean, this was not an accident that we just got this money. This was literally 2 years worth of work behind the scenes when 206 Grove Street came before the planning board. And from there on out, they had concerns about traffic, road conditions, business development based on the conditions of the road, the intersection of Washington Street and Grove Street. And, you know, they didn't walk away. They didn't stay stuck in the mud and not want to do anything. You know, they jumped in and came up with a solution, to trying to fix that. And they allowed us through the planning board decision to, have some funds to go hire a consultant, one of which I know of. Her name is April Anderson, who literally created the MassWorks program. April and I actually worked together many, many years ago in the state Senate together and very good friends. And she created the program when she worked for Governor Patrick. You can't hire a better person than April on that type of stuff. We got the best in the business. And we knew we would be denied the first year. We really knew that. And it was really about stretching out and saying, okay, what do we need to then do to lay the groundwork to do the things we need to do And to the prior conversation, Community Preservation Act got us some additional points. Most notably, the Complete Streets policy got us some additional points. I give a lot of credit to Councilor Frangillo for his influence in getting that passed through the whole council this year. It was a unanimous vote. They were all behind of it. But that Complete Streets policy the town council passed this year got us additional points. And now you see the project with bike lanes, pedestrian-friendly crosswalks, new traffic light, new road network. There'll be a 10-foot bike lane installed that connects the SNET trail. That's Complete Streets. That's going to be our first Complete Streets project in town. Yeah. And what a huge victory to get probably the largest grant award of the year. And you heard from Lieutenant Governor, 300 and something million worth of applications. They had 66 million, I believe, to give out. And we got 2.2 million of that. The role of Senator Spilka and Representative Roy cannot be understated in this.
No.
We had meetings that they set up with administration officials. We had huge phone calls with them, with top tier people at Economic Development Executive Office about what we needed to do.
Yep.
The town council appropriated $250,000 in free cash because they asked us to do that. And so we need a local contribution. We need
kind of the seed money to ensure. Yes. Yeah.
Kind of the seed money to ensure that we were real serious about this.
Yep.
And I thought in the room you were there, Steve, I thought everybody just, you know, great crowd, great public private partnership with Marcus Partners, to which they're now applying for another 275,000 square foot distribution center. All of this work, they now own four properties in Franklin as an elite real estate and property management company worth over, I believe it is $360 million in assets. These are the real deal players that do real estate development in the Seaport, in Boston, Four Point Channel.
Yeah.
This is a company that you know will come to Franklin, produce great property tax revenue, be a partner with you on improving infrastructure. I can't underestimate on your show, which is the greatness of radio, how important all of this work does into creating good jobs for people around town and in the region, but also generating great property tax strength, which helps reduce the residential tax rate or keeps it stable for residential tax owners.
Absolutely.
These are huge deals. And I feel like sometimes we don't get to really do deep dives into this stuff, right? About the work that the town attorney does, the work that the DPW does, the town engineering department, our GIS department. And then to cap it off yesterday with a magnificent press conference designed and curated by our own Lily Rivera, only a few months into her job. I had the Lieutenant Governor's staff telling me compliments on the way out. We never leave these events on time. We never show up on time either. But, you know, I mean, well, to get
that's
out
because
on
they,
time
if they
hard.
Don't leave the prior one on time, right. They can't show up here on time. Right.
But, so. You know, we had everything in line. Right. It was all well. And to hear I got an email from the CEO and principal of Marcus Partners about how impressive it was. It's a great feeling. And we had the same thing a week ago with NETA, New England Treatment Access. The same type of work was going on for 6 years since they've been here on host community agreements, legal reviews, cooperation, odor control. We fixed that. And for now, for them to be complete with their three stores in Massachusetts, by which that is the one in Franklin is by far the largest, because that's also the distribution facility now for their entire corporate head. They own a NETA not only owns that building in the grow shop, they own five other properties. Their East Coast corporate headquarters is in Franklin, and they are one of the largest cannabis manufacturers in the country. This is great business development for the town of Franklin. It brings in a tremendous amount of revenue, and they've been phenomenal. They've also donated $300,000 in their agreement to the reconstruction of Grove Street. This is how community development happens.
Right.
It's by people working together, It's by people listening. It's by people focusing on the stuff that needs to happen in order to get this done. As you can tell for how long I'm talking and how excited my voice is, it really was a rewarding week for a lot of the staff that have worked on this stuff behind the scenes with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for years. And to see these folks open and see the recognition coming from the Lieutenant Governor and really, really high-level elite business owners is something I think and I hope the town is really proud of.
Yeah, certainly. I can add a quick plug of the audio. It's only about 16 minutes of your introductions, Lieutenant Governor speaking, and the gentleman from Marcus Partners, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Paul Marcus.
Paul Marcus. Yeah, that audio is available. It was posted this morning, so quick turnaround. That's out there so people can listen and find out. And it reinforces, because you said many of the same things here, and Lieutenant Governor said many of those same things, and you can listen to them saying that. But having had the role that I've had, seeing over time, going back to whether it was Economic Development Committee meetings, those town council subcommittee meetings, even at the marijuana overlay district discussions, etc., finally through to, yeah, it took a long time, but now things are happening, and it's goodness. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, most people don't know we get the town has a local option like meals and hotel, and we passed that. We were the first town in the state to put a 3% sales tax on local sales. So from Netta or Boterra, all of their sales will also get an additional 3%. That is great. Mm-hmm. And so from a sales tax perspective, you know, it's another revenue source to hopefully support our operating budget, and we'll still be a couple years out before we really see what that revenue stream is going to be, but 3% on $10 million worth of retail sales is $300,000. So if you have a couple stores that are doing $10 million worth of business every year, that's another $600,000 for the town budget. Road work and capital infrastructure. Yeah. So
the other hidden benefits, as you've talked to, and so the truck drivers, the truckers, they're here. They're going to stop somewhere and have lunch and fill up for gas, et cetera. So, yeah, there's and lots of other benefits that we're going to get.
Well, let's just keep firing away. I mean, there was also one other one. Those are really good points. Mm-hmm. And those are excellent points about the replicative effect of more eyeballs driving down our streets and seeing other businesses, particularly like a Grove Street where you have a brewery, you have a kitchen supply store, you know, some other retail stores on Grove Street. We have a great trail network that we're trying to build up and connect it over the Beaver Street fields, but also in all those agreements with those cannabis companies, we have a local jobs preference provision in there. Mm-hmm. And his really, if I've taken tours of both. You know, as you walk around, particularly the manufacturing facility for Netta, and particularly their headquarters, a lot of those folks have grown up or live in Franklin. And a lot of those folks, have good jobs, health insurance. A lot of even some of the corporate leadership has moved to town and bought houses here. Your point of that exponential effect, those are just a few more examples of that, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a telling, even I think in Paul's remarks, his personal connection to the town through one of his employees who had passed early. So all of those little things, make a difference. And I think in this or some other place, I think I mentioned, if you want to go somewhere quick, you go alone. If you want to go somewhere in a sustainable place, you go with people, which takes time. But to your point, that just reinforces that you started this. Well, somebody started this. You certainly are carrying the ball the last couple of years in particular. Yeah. And it takes a lot of people. And fortunately, people can now see, it's work. And we did work. We're successful. So it should be better. Hopefully,
keep moving forward.
Yep. Willing to try something else. Hey, the last time worked, this one will work too.
Try to build pot. You're right. It's a lot less bureaucratic or formulaic or procedure oriented than people think. Good business development is really about customer service. It's really about building good relationships and being able to listen enough where you're working with people Some don't work out and others work out really well. Yeah. And here's like in the last week, you know, you never know until they open if it's all going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And you never know until the lieutenant governor shows up, here's your money. You know, there's always in the town manager's back of their head going, you know, where's the plug to pull out? Just, you know, so when they show up like that, it really is an affirmation that it's here. And for a lot of people that work hard on this, not just myself, but the staff, it really is a great closure and a great feeling. So hopefully we'll be able to continue to do a good thing.
Having to plan additional things of these type as we go forward, because it gives her a little bit of variety and it makes her job that much easier. Now she's got good things to talk about. She doesn't have to create things to do.
That's right. So
I know you're already busy enough, Lily, but you know, this is all goodness.
Hey, I've said it to Lily offline yesterday, but it really was a remarkable job by her, and she had an assistant or two in there helping out, right, Lily? But it was a great press conference. She did a great job. And I was really heartwarmed by how many people showed up from the school committee. I threw a flyer out there to invite them because Sarah and the school committee and the council have been talking about really, you know, just trying to support each other a lot more and through these tough times. And for four members of the school committee to come, it was great. The planning board has been telling me these are the first times they've ever been invited to anything like this. So I've been trying to make sure about getting the planning board there. And I think just after what the town went through from all the commentary we've heard from the election, I think the citizens deserve and the voters deserve to see their elected officials working together. And even if it's not exactly relevant, to show that kind of support and the superintendent of schools coming to learn more about what we do and how we do things, although they could listen to these podcasts too, Steve. to feel that out and to see Dave Callanan, Dave McNeil, Al Charles and Megan Whitmore come to the press conference was really great to see. And it was great to see Greg and Rondo and Bill David and Rick Power come, from the planning board. So it was a great team effort.
And even the former members who had started and been in on the discussion, they got to participate as well. So yeah, it was good.
We recognized Joe and Tony and as members, because they were on the planning board that approved the project, and ultimately they're the ones that, ultimately those five, they're the ones that got the provision in there to say let's go for the grant. There we had some healthy skepticism we would get it, but I also told them we weren't going to get it in the first year. So I think even they were pleasantly surprised, and it was nice to at least acknowledge them.
Yep. Indeed. Well, thank you for taking time to talk Franklin this week, and I hope you have a great weekend.
It's our pleasure, Steve. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate all the listeners out there listening to my long explanation, but it was an exciting week in Franklin, and hopefully we can just put some more weeks like this together.
Indeed, because as this particular year comes to a close, this is, I think, our 20th episode. We've got at least one more scheduled, so we'll close out the year on that one. But yeah, I think what we're doing here is important to get the kind of the behind the scenes talking Franklin as to what happens and how it happens, because we don't always get kind of the sound. We need more than the sound bites, because the devil's in the details all the time. So thank you for helping to participate. And we do this, of course, because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.